Out of grace comes mercy. And out of mercy comes forgiveness. And when you look at the tabernacle of Moses, there was the Holy of Holies. Not just holy, but the Holy of Holies. But in the Holy of Holies is a seat. It's called the mercy seat. If that seat was not there, and even though he's a holy God separated from sinful men, there is a mercy seat where the blood is spilt, is sprinkled, and you and I can come into the Holy of Holies because of the mercies of God. Are you all right? And we see that the Bible says, blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Let me give you a little Bible study. It'll be very quick. It's not complete. In fact, it's just a trickle in the bucket. But Paul is speaking to the church in Rome. And in chapter 1, you realize there are no chapters in the original text. All right? The Holy Ghost did not say, Psalm 27, verse 4. No, he didn't say just the whole thing is just one text. We put verses and chapter in there so that we can understand it a bit better. But the book of Romans, for example, is just one, the whole thing. But in chapter 1, Paul is saying, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the son of David, according to the flesh, but declared to be the Son of God by the Spirit of holiness because of the resurrection from the dead. And then he talks about people handling the truth in unrighteousness. And when you come to chapter 2, he talks about judgment that is according to truth. God's judgment is absolutely true. You may have truth, I may have truth, but we only know certain things. God knows everything. And when God judges us, he judges us according to truth. His judgment is without respect of person. Just because you're a pastor, just because you're a mayor or a president, it doesn't matter. Everybody has the same standard of judgment, except that the Bible judges us and God judges us according to the moral law that we walk in, the light that we walk in. So you are judged. The more you have, the more you judge. To whom much is given, much is expected. So the judgment is according to truth. It's according to what you do with the truth. It's without respect of persons. There's no respect for anybody. You come to chapter 3. He's talking about all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But all also have access to come into the presence of God by faith. And then you come to chapter 4, he talks about an example of faith in a man named Abraham. The man God called to be the father of the faith and justified by God, not because of what he did and not because he was circumcised, because he was justified before he was circumcised. But he was called righteous just because he believed God. And then you come to chapter 5, and it's talking about the test of this faith that now this man has. That the trials of our faith produces patience, and patience, endurance, character, and character, hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And then he tells us about the awesomeness of this grace. That even though we died in sin, this grace came along and this grace abounds to us. And at the end of that chapter, he says, where sin abounds, grace much more abound. And then he asks a question in chapter 6. Shall we sin then so that grace may abound? He said, no, how can a man who is dead sin anymore? A dead smoker no longer smokes. You can pass a pipe in front of him. He can't even smell the smoke. Why? Because he's dead. And the Bible says we died with Christ in baptism. When we rose from the dead, like Christ rose from the dead, we rose to live in newness of life. Hallelujah. And then it says eternal life is a gift from God. In chapter 7, he talks about the law of sin and death, the law that binds us. He said, I wanna do the right thing because I have the law of God in me, but there's another law in my members that war against the law in my mind. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Thank God that Jesus Christ, you come to chapter 8, it says, there is no now, therefore, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So you have this progression, and then you come to chapter 9 and chapter 10, where he talks about faith. What do we do? Shall we go to heaven to bring Christ down? No. Shall we go down to bring Christ up? No. What do we say? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart, which is the word of faith that we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Amen. You come to chapter 11, at the end of chapter 11, because of the greatness of God, he said, it's of him, and through him, and to him are all things. And then you come to chapter 12, and he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies. All chapter 1 to 11 describe the mercies of God. And in chapter 12, he says, I beseech you therefore, having understood. Chapter 12 does not stand on its own. It starts in chapter 1. Amen. And having progressed through all that, he comes to chapter 12 and he said, considering now knowing the mercies of God, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by those mercies, that you present now yourselves, your bodies unto God, which is the only reasonable thing that we can do, due to the mercies given to us. Are you okay? Hallelujah. And mercy is displayed in all its glory when you give it. Mercy means that you get what you don't deserve. I get what I don't deserve. I deserve to die. I should have been crucified. I should have suffered and died. But Christ took my place. That is mercy. I get what I don't deserve. You get what you don't deserve. We get what we don't deserve. That is mercy. And mercy triumphs over judgment, the Bible says. And while we ought to be judged and condemned to die forever and ever, mercy triumphs over judgment. Amen. And mercy is never in its glory until it's released, it's given. And it's given to the undeserved. You don't have to wait for it. You're 2,000 years late. That's not God's fault. A lot of people said, how long do I wait for it? It was here. It was from everlasting to everlasting. Before you came, before any of us came, there was mercy. And after all of us have gone, there'll still be mercy. From everlasting to everlasting. And it's given to the undeserved. It's displayed. When the Syrophoenician woman came and she said, Jesus, have mercy. She didn't say, I go to church every Sunday and I give. And like the Pharisee who said, I thank you that I'm not like that fella over there. Because I pray twice a day, I tithe and I do this and that, and I fast twice a week. And that man over there just looked, he couldn't even look up. He said, have mercy on me. I'm a sinful man. And he went home justified. So the Syrophoenician woman came just for one thing, mercy. Blind Bartimaeus cried out for mercy. The 10 lepers cried out for mercy. The woman that was caught in adultery received mercy. The woman at the well received mercy. Having married 5 times, now living with a man in sin, and Jesus said, go and get your husband. Jesus never condemned that woman. And she got saved that day. Because she received mercy. Are you okay? Hallelujah. And mercy is displayed when it's released. And we find that in the heart of the Bible says, God is father to the fatherless, defender of widows. Sets the solitary in family, bring out those that are bound into prosperity. He doesn't just open the door so that you can come out of being bound. He brings you out of bondage into prosperity. That's mercy. Hallelujah. And mercy overlooks a transgression. Have a look at Proverbs 19. Verse 11, the discretion of a man makes him slow to anger. And his glory is to overlook a transgression. And mercy overlooks people's faults. That's why we said there are plenty of occasions when we have to extend mercy. Because some of the behavior of people, you need mercy. Because otherwise you'll rearrange their lives. And sometimes people don't know that they are doing wrong. And I like the song, Amazing Grace, has always been my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. Hallelujah. I don't know and could not know why Jesus loves me so. But he looks beyond my fault and sees my need. He overlooks certain things in my life. In fact, he overlooks everything in my life. And extends mercy to me. He looks past my faults. And it's glorious when you as a human being, when you as a child of God, learn to do the same. Not to hold people to what they've done because they may not know what they're doing. And Jesus on the cross, one of the last acts on the cross was forgive them, they don't know what they are doing. I had a lady come and she was angry with her father. She said, what am I going to do with my dad? I said, she's still your dad. You need to honor. Why should I do that? I said, there may be certain things that your father is blind in. I said, would you half kill a blind man if he falls over your couch or spoil your flowers or break your prized vase at home? Would you half kill them? He said, no, because they're blind. I said, then extend the same mercy, because some people don't know what they're doing. I was in a conference once. I was speaking at a conference in a hotel, and I had some coins. It wasn't a big amount of money, but they were in $2 coins, so I put them on the dresser, went out to speak at the conference. I came back, and it was gone. And I rang the desk. I wanted to say, but I rang the desk, and I said, can you send the lady that tidied my room? And she came. I saw she was an elderly lady. And she was trying to smile, but I could see that she was guilty. I didn't ask her, why did he take the money? I gave her some more money. I felt God was telling me to give her some money, so I reached into my pocket. I said, thank you for tidying my room. You know what that is? That's called mercy. During the Welsh revival, spread out through the British Isles, went into Americas, into the Americas. In England, during that time, there was a man who was an accountant in a huge firm. And he had embezzled thousands of pounds. But he went to the revival meetings every night and was just convicted. His heart was smitten. It was sliced to pieces by the word of God. And he sorely wanted to give his life to the Lord. But he thought, if I give my life to the Lord, I'll have to own up to the fact that I embezzled the company money. And he couldn't stand it. Every time he goes, he comes back feeling worse and worse and worse. So he wanted to go and own up. So he knocked at the owner's door, the big man, the big boss. And he stood there. He just stood there. He was afraid to say anything. And the man got his cigar out of his mouth and said, come on, man, my time is precious. What's the problem? He said, He spluttered out that he's been embezzling money, thousands of pounds. And the boss said, I was just going to promote you to that desk right next to mine. You're the most trusted employee I've got. And now you tell me this. You'll go to jail for that. And the man said, I can go to jail. At least my conscience is clear. And then the big boss says something he didn't expect. Tell you what I'll do. I think I'll still promote you. And you can pay back the money with the rise of pay that you're going to get. And pay it back. Now, go out there. Hug your family. You found God. Go and take the day off. What is that? It's called mercy. And all of us have received mercy. And mercy's reward is mercy. Are you okay? Have a look at, I'm going to close in a minute, pray for some people. Proverbs 11. There's a little verse there in verse 17 that you will be really blessed with. It says this, the merciful man does good for his own soul. There is something that happens in your heart when you extend mercy to the undeserved. I can't even begin to tell you what I felt when I said to that old lady that tidied my room, here's some money. Have some lunch. Thank you for tidying my room. There is something that happens in your heart when you extend mercy to others. The Bible says, when you give to the undeserved, when you give to the poor, you loan to the Lord. And that which you give, He will give back again. Mercy's reward is mercy. And some of us need to learn to extend that. Maybe to your husband, maybe to your children, maybe to your parents, maybe to those that are around you. Because it will do something in your own heart and release those people to be who they are. God is able to do that. And let us be those that will always extend mercy. Hallelujah. If you're here and you need prayer, I want you to come. Now, I need some prayers to come and pray for them. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray, and then those that will you come and minister to each one. We won't be long, all right, but I need some more prayers to come and pray. Father, we thank you this morning. We pray, dear God, that your grace and your mercy will be extended to us afresh and help us to be people that will always extend mercy to others. Bless these dear ones, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.